thank you to all the people that made this possible. They'll live for a little while. We'll keep them watered as best we can. And I hope it reminds you of what it is to be a hardy organism in sometimes a dry world, right? So these are succulents. They're designed for dry ground, dry seasons, where there maybe isn't a lot of water. And that kind of reminds me of the Lenten season that we find ourselves in right now, that there are desert times. There are middle of summer and we haven't gotten rain in week times in our spiritual lives. And yet we have the living water to live and to last through them. So I hope they're a blessing to you like they're a blessing to me. A question for you this morning. When was the last time somebody told you to get used to it? Maybe it was already this morning. When you were late, you know, getting out of the house. And you're like, oh man, I wish we could get there on time for once. Get used to it. We're never going to be there on time. Maybe it's in a more serious situation. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that's broken. And somebody said, you know what, just get used to it. Maybe your kids don't listen to you. Get used to it. Maybe your teacher doesn't respect you. Get used to it, right? We say these things. I want to tell you a story about a guy who wrote a book that our church board read last year. His name is Bob Goff. And he tells this story. You see, Bob decided that he wanted to do good in the world, and he wanted to make a difference. And so he wanted to become a lawyer, which, yeah, you never know, right? But he wanted to be a lawyer for good. He felt like he wasn't good enough to be a pastor, not good enough to be a missionary, but he could be a lawyer. And so Bob decided that he wanted to become a lawyer. Here's the problem. His college grades, oh, they were not good. And he takes the LSAT, and it crushes him. So his LSAT score, not good. It's at this point that a normal person would say, Bob, you're not going to be a lawyer. Get used to it. But Bob's not normal. Bob decides with his bad grades and his bad LSAT score, he's going to apply to law school anyway. And so he does. And he sends out application after application after application. And he receives rejection after rejection after rejection. Now, a normal person would say, Bob, you're not going to law school. Get used to it. But Bob is not a normal person. And so Bob goes down to the local law school, Pepperdine, and he goes to the receptionist's desk at the administration, and he says, yes, I am the guy who keeps calling you, asking if I really did get rejected. And somehow, with his charisma, he's able to get an interview with the dean. And he gets into the office of the dean, and he begins to go on his spiel. I want to do good. I want to be a lawyer for good. I want to make a difference. And the dean says, compassionately, a lot of qualified people don't make it. And he neglects to mention how unqualified for it Bob is. And he kind of glides him to the exit of the office. And it's at this point that a normal person would say, Bob, you're not going to law school. You've gone above and beyond what a normal person would do, and you're still not going to go. Get used to it. But you see, there's a bench outside the dean's office. And so Bob, leaving the dean's office with a no, decides to sit down on that bench and wait. The dean is shocked to see Bob sitting on that bench outside his office when he leaves work that day. And Bob said to him, as far as I see it, Dean, all you got to tell me is to go buy my books, and I'll go buy my books. And the dean laughs at him. Oh, all this young energy, right? And he leaves. Who do you think is sitting on that bench 7:30 the next morning when the dean arrives for work. Bob, all you got to do is tell me to go buy my books, and I'll go buy my books, Dean. The dean laughs, goes into his office, and they begin this pattern. Bob became intimately acquainted with the dean's life and schedule, so much so that every time the dean entered or exited his office, there would be Bob sitting on the bench with his spiel, all you have to do is tell me to go buy my books. Sometimes the dean would laugh. Sometimes the dean would smile. And sometimes the dean would just ignore him and hope that he was going to go away. It's at this point that a normal person would say, you're not getting in, Bob. Read the writing on the wall. Get used to it. Dean's not normal. You see, the semester was coming up. They were 3 days out from the beginning of the semester, 2 days out, 1 day out. Bob thought for sure the first day of the semester is going to be the day he gets in. But it comes and goes. Now they're 1 day into the semester, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Bob's behind in a program he's not even a part of at this point. On the fifth day of the semester, he's seated on the bench, and the dean doesn't come when he's supposed to. So he gets up and he walks around the halls, doesn't find him, comes back to sit down on his bench. I hope his name is on that bench now. That would be cool if it was a thing. And here's how Bob writes about that day. Without a lot of fanfare, the dean turned the corner from his office, and as usual, I was prepared to say, just tell me to go buy my books. Something was different this time, though, because instead of avoiding me and walking away without saying anything, the dean just stood there, towering over me. There was a long pause. The dean looked me squarely in the eyes, gave me a wink, and said the four words that changed my life forever. Go buy your books. And I did. You know, persistence can be holy. Bob is a profoundly successful lawyer now. And he does work around the world to pull children out of slavery and to make things right and to give them an education. Persistence can be holy. Bob says this about this part of his life. Ooh, that got weird. I'll say it for you. I used to think God guided us by opening and closing doors. But now I know sometimes God wants us to kick some doors down. I'll say it again. I used to think God guided us by opening and closing doors, but now I know sometimes God wants us to kick some doors down. Persistence can be holy. Jesus told a shockingly similar story to this one about Bob. It's in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, and I want to read it for you. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. Yikes, what a judge. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We have a persistent widow in this story who I am fascinated by. There's a few things that we can deduce about her. Women didn't go to court. It didn't happen. The man in a woman's life went for her and advocated on her behalf. She's lost a husband. She's called a widow. But she must have not only lost a husband, but lost every man in her life who could advocate for her. That means that she is on the margins. She has no one to protect her, to provide for her, to care for her, and so she has to get it done herself. It's a bad sign that she's in court. Widows in the scripture represent the most marginalized group in society at that time. These are the people that are on edge. And she's coming to the judge probably with a life or death issue. The people listening, I wonder if they would have gotten a little bit of what this widow is going through. Because typically it is that the person without any power has to go to the person with all the power and beg for some. And that's what this widow has to do. We have a David and Goliath type story here. A woman with virtually nothing going up to a judge who thinks he has everything. It's almost like a Bob and a Dean kind of story. Who's this judge? Who in this room would choose that kind of a judge to go up against in court? He's described in almost a clownish kind of a way. He doesn't fear God. He has no respect for people. What kind of a judge is that? The widow could go to him, if he was normal, and advocate on behalf of God and God's law and a higher way of living. But he doesn't fear God. Or the widow could go and advocate just to be a decent human being, have some compassion after all, but he doesn't respect people. He even says it out loud to himself. I don't fear God, and I don't respect people. He thinks he's the highest power because he doesn't have a higher power above him. And so it will be her persistence that will accomplish the task in the end, right? Imagine how many times she had to go to this judge and he said his equivalent of, get used to it. I'm not giving you what you want. Get used to it already. And she simply refuses to get used to it. He claims that she's going to wear him out. Imagine how worn out she is. We lose heart when we get so worn out. She has to go back every single day. She has no one to lean on, nothing in her court, and yet there she goes, day after day, time after time, persistently advocating for herself. And he's getting worn out? Oh, she's been worn out a long time ago. She waits on the bench outside of the dean's office in her own way. When Jesus wraps up this passage, he actually introduces us to another character. We have the widow, we have the unjust judge, but then I think we have a very good judge. This judge is God. And God is not like the unjust judge, but God is the good judge, the loving judge, the compassionate and merciful and kind judge who has all the heart for the people who are on the fringes and on the edges and who are worn out from trying to persist. if a persistent person can influence an unjust judge, how much more can we do with a just and good Father? Has somebody told you to get used to it? To deal with it? Oh, I've been guilty of saying that. And I've said it to myself, right? I've prayed for years and thought, maybe the right thing is just to get used to it. Maybe that's the holy thing. But I think persistence is holy. You see, we don't have a get used to it God, right? A get used to it God is disconnected and ambivalent, like, it's not going to change, just get used to it. That's not the God we have. God is not a get used to it God because God has not gotten used to it. God is not used to the brokenness in his world. God is not used to the brokenness in our relationships. God is not used to the evil and the pain and the injustice and the oppression. God's not used to it. We do not have a get used to it God. We have a persistent God, and thank goodness for it. Because since we have a persistent God, we are a redeemed people. If God got used to it, the story would have ended a long time ago for us. If he had gotten used to our sin, gotten used to our turning around and walking away, gotten used to it, Jesus wouldn't be here telling that parable. But he is, because we have a persistent God, who, in spite of it all, continues to pour out his love and his mercy and his grace again and again and again. And so, when we persist, when we refuse to get used to, but we persist in love and in prayer, we get to tap into that persistent God who has made a way for all of us. So what have you gotten used to? What have you gotten used to that God has not gotten used to? And how should you pray in spite of it? Because God is inviting all of us every day to re-enter the world of holy persistence, to refuse to get used to, and to instead choose to believe in our persistent and loving God. I invite our praise team forward. Bob's quote, one more time, goes this way. I used to think God guided us by opening and closing doors, but now I know sometimes God wants us to kick some doors down. What needs to be prayerfully kicked down? What do you need to be persistent about today? What's the calling for you and for us as we seek to be holy persistent? Amen.